Mooney gets down to skeleton staffing. AirTran pilots and Southwest flight attendants ratify contracts. And unions still find Delta employees a tough sell. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, November 22, 2010. It's going to be a tough Christmas at Mooney. Back in 2008, when the first in a series of layoffs were announced, the company had 500 employees. Right now it has 53 left. By the end of this year, that number will be down to about 10. Mooney Chief Financial Officer Barry Hodkin emphasized, quote, "We are not shutting down. However, we cannot continue to subsidize the company at the level we have in the recent past. We have been in discussions with potential investors for more than 18 months and will continue to work with them. If things change, then the scope of this layoff could change. We will continue to protect Mooney's assets, both tangible and intangible. Those assets include the facilities and our certificates for production and manufacturing," unquote. Mooney's Susan Harrison tells ANN that the economy has damaged Mooney to the point that any attempt to restart production when the economy recovers would require new investment. It only took 6 years from the start of negotiations, but the pilots of AirTran Airways have ratified a contract agreement with management. 93% of eligible pilots voted, and 87% of those who did voted yes. Lyndon Hillman, chairman of the AirTran chapter of the Airline Pilots Association, commented, quote, "By approving this contract, our members have signaled that they are focused on the future and ready to close a contentious chapter in our airline's history. This deal will provide real improvements in our members' lives and allow us to concentrate on the important work of merging two great companies," unquote. Southwest recently acquired AirTran. The contract enhances pay, quality of life, and career protections. Most elements of the new contract will take effect on December 1st. Southwest Airlines says its flight attendants, represented by the Transport Workers Union Local 556, have ratified a contract which addresses adding the Boeing 737-800 to the current collective bargaining agreement. With the positive vote, the current contract will also be extended by 1 year, becoming amendable on May 31, 2013, and will include the potential for wage rate increases based on the company's financial performance. TWU 556 represents more than 9,700 flight attendants. Regarding the addition of the bigger planes, Southwest VP and COO Mike Vanderven commented, quote, "The TWU negotiating committee and leadership team quickly grasped the potential benefits along with the added operational complexities associated with this decision. This was an important step in our due diligence process, and we are pleased that our hardworking flight attendants recognize the long-term benefits of adding this new aircraft to our fleet," unquote. Southwest is still waiting for its pilots, represented by the Southwest Airlines Pilots Association, to approve their modified contract. The pilots would get the same pay regardless of which plane they fly, but the 800 is enough bigger than the 700 that a fourth flight attendant would be required. The unions that represented workers at the old Northwest Airlines were licking their chops over the merger with Delta, anticipating their best opportunities in years to get the largely non-union Delta workforce to approve representation. But that effort hasn't been going so well. Delta says it was notified by the National Mediation Board last week that more than 53% of below-wing airport customer service and cargo warehouse employees voted to reject representation by the International Association of Machinists. Only 37.5% of eligible voters wanted the IAM. Delta's flight attendants rejected AFA representation earlier this month. Simulator techs twice rejected IAM representation in 2010. Meteorologists voted to stay non-union in March of 2009. And aircraft maintenance techs and technical writers and planners also resolved representation in early 2009, with the Northwest unions voluntarily relinquishing their pre-merger certifications. These groups total more than 40,000 employees. Of the latest vote against the IAM, Mike Campbell, executive VP for HR and Labor Relations, commented, quote, "Once again, Delta people have clearly stated their preference for working directly with their leaders to make Delta a great place to work for all employees and the global airline of choice for our customers. In multiple elections across many work groups, tens of thousands of Delta employees continue to reaffirm the importance of maintaining the generations-old set of values set forth by our founder, C.E. Woolman," unquote. Delta is telling the underwing and cargo group that it's urging the IAM to respect the results of the vote, but notes that further delays in aligning pay, benefits, and work rules between the former separate Northwest and Delta groups could result if the IAM chooses to file interference claims. Up next on ANN, military airspace will again be opened for the holidays. A union demands TSA do better at setting passenger expectations. And the FAA proposes three big fines. You're listening to Aero News.
Freedom through innovation. It's what led us to develop Cirrus Flying 2.0, the framework for a bold new take on private aviation. And as a result, the gap between the aircraft we produce and those of our competitors continues to widen. Cirrus knows where the personal aircraft industry is headed. We're already there.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for November 22nd. I'm Paul Platt. The FAA has announced agreement with the Department of Defense to open airspace normally reserved for the military to airline traffic this holiday season, echoing a PR campaign that was embraced by the general media and the public last year. U.S. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood commented, quote, "We want to do everything we can to make it easier for people to travel so they can spend Thanksgiving with their loved ones," unquote. Maybe we could get Ray to share some of that sentiment with the folks at TSA. As new, more aggressive airport screenings have brought responses from passengers ranging from shocked submissiveness to physical violence against the screeners, AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees, is calling on the TSA to better educate passengers before they're screened, so the new enhanced process won't come as such a shock. AFGE counts many transportation security officers as members, and expects to be cleared to hold a formal electronic representation vote sometime next year. Workers in the department don't have collective bargaining rights yet, so the representation vote would determine only exclusivity in speaking out on behalf of TSOs, not a direct role in negotiating their contracts. On the eve of what's likely to be the first encounter by many infrequent holiday travelers with a new Fourth Amendment free zone at the nation's airports, AFGE National President John Gage warned, quote, "TSA must do a better job explaining these measures to the flying public. This absence of information has resulted in a backlash against the character and professionalism of TSOs, based on a few widely reported but largely ill-founded claims repeated over and over again by the media," unquote. AFGE is further calling on TSA to provide an educational pamphlet to each passenger, outlining the new procedures and what the passenger's rights are. Gage concluded, quote, "It is unacceptable for any passenger to verbally or physically assault any security officers, and TSA must act now, before the Thanksgiving rush, to ensure that TSOs are not being left to fend for themselves," unquote. Passengers who feel they've been sexually assaulted will, of course, continue to fend for themselves. The FAA proposed fines against three companies on Friday. Two of them were for violations of shipping regulations. The largest proposed fine is a $530,000 civil penalty against Aviation Technical Services in Everett, Washington, for allegedly failing to follow approved procedures while maintaining 14 Southwest Airlines Boeing 737s. Specifically, the FAA alleges ATS incorrectly supported aircraft at two of the three specified points while they were off their wheels for inspection for fuselage fatigue cracks and failed to install and monitor load cells to ensure the maximum loads did not exceed limits for the engines, wings, and horizontal stabilizer locations. The agency also proposed a $168,000 civil penalty against Radiology Corporation of America of Delray Beach, Florida, for offering a fiberboard box to Delta Airlines in Atlanta as checked baggage on February 6th of this year. That box housed a soldering iron containing liquid butane fuel, a flammable gas, which is a hazardous material. The shipment was not declared to contain hazardous materials. Delta employees at the Atlanta airport discovered the shipment before it was loaded on an aircraft. Also accused of shipping violations was Kmart, based in Michigan. The FAA is proposing a $140,000 civil penalty for offering two packages to UPS for transportation by air from Caguas, Puerto Rico, to its returned goods center in McDonough, Georgia. The first, on September 21st of 2009, contained 15 3-ounce containers of nail color, classified as a paint, a flammable liquid. The second shipment, October 26th of last year, contained 18 5-ounce containers of aerosol sunblock, a flammable gas. Neither shipment was declared to contain hazardous materials. UPS employees at the Louisville Sort Center discovered both packages leaking. All three companies have 30 days from receipt of the notifications to respond to the FAA. Still ahead, a famous or infamous bizjet is back in the States. An Indian pilot may have suffered from sleep inertia. And remember, these days, video cameras may be anywhere. You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Pipersport.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/piperaircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, November 22nd. I'm Paul Plack. An Embraer Legacy 600, which was involved in an infamous mid-air collision with a Gol Airlines 737 over Brazil in 2006, has flown again. A recovery team from Constant Aviation, a maintenance, repair, and overhaul facility headquartered at Cleveland Hopkins International Airport, prepared the plane for the ferry flight from a remote military base in the jungles of Brazil, where it's been sitting since the accident. The much larger 737 went down in the jungle with no survivors. This is the collision that made U.S. pilots Joseph Lepore and Jan Paladino household names, after Brazil charged them both with the equivalent of involuntary manslaughter for allegedly turning off their transponder, a charge for which evidence was never offered. Four military air traffic controllers were also charged after the two planes were assigned to a collision course at 37,000 feet. The two U.S. pilots could face trials if they ever returned to Brazil. Constant Aviation's 10-member mobile aircraft recovery team spent 3 weeks in the remote location performing necessary repairs to get the aircraft ready for the six-hour flight. The plane will remain at the company's Cleveland facility for the remainder of the work needed to return it to service. The pilot of an Air India Express flight that overshot a runway in Mangalore on landing had been asleep for more than half the flight, according to an official report from the Indian government. 158 people died when the aircraft went into a ravine off the end of the runway and caught fire. The report says that the pilot, who'd logged more than 10,000 hours, suffered from sleep inertia and was disoriented during the approach. Businessweek reports that, according to the Hindustan Times, the cockpit voice recorder picked up the sound of heavy snoring and breathing during the flight. The panel investigating the accident said the pilot reacted slowly to developing situations and did not follow standard operating procedures. And finally today, a woman employed at Denver International Airport by the city and a firefighter stationed at the airport are both out of work after being caught using a multi-million-dollar mobile command post for illicit nookie. The woman also drove her city-provided car to get to the meetings. Unbeknownst to either of them, the mobile command center, which waits at the ready for deployment during emergencies such as aircraft accidents, is equipped with motion-activated security cameras. KCNC Television in Denver reports the lovers had made at least three rendezvous when another worker doing routine maintenance on the command post stumbled on their X-rated recordings. Apparently, he was honest enough to bring the evidence to supervisors rather than doing something crass on YouTube or eBay. There's no word on whether the maintenance worker who discovered the recordings needed counseling. Also, no word on whether providing the lovers with all this free time will turn out to be a good idea. But one thing we do know, the elevation at KDEN is 5,431 feet. So these two joined the Mile High Club in a van. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves recalls an accident which illustrates why a thorough pre-flight checkout is crucial when an aircraft has just emerged from maintenance or a restoration. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.